So who are we following? As a parent, as a father, I can relate to that imagery in that movie that we saw. Whenever I first started taking my son Cooper hunting, he would follow literally wherever I went through the woods. If I went to the right of a tree, he would follow me to the right of the tree. If I went around the side of a hill, he'd follow me. And it's interesting, as he started to get a little bit older and a little bit more comfortable, a little bit more used to being in the woods, I noticed him starting to kind of try his own path a little bit. I'd be lying to you if I said I didn't find it funny whenever he would try his own path and he'd fall down. See? The old guy knows what he's talking about. But much like that, we are called to follow our Heavenly Father. And his path on there, I don't know if you noticed, that it was a very long path, but it was very narrow. Well, that is the same path that we face in the world today if we want to try to get to heaven. It's not the easy road. It's not the road most commonly followed. It's not paved and just easy streets. It's narrow. It's long. It's going to face challenges. But exactly like that father in that video led his daughter to the end where the end goal was, our Heavenly Father will do exactly the same. And he will hold our hand step by step along the way. And we can rest assured that if we follow in his footsteps, we are guaranteed to be with him in glory forever and ever. And so today, I don't know if you kind of got the hint of what we're going to be talking about, but today we're going to be talking about following Christ. And let me just start by saying that there are a lot of distractions out there. There are so many things going on in our world right now that we could all get caught up in, wrapped up in, consumed by, thinking that maybe even some of those things are good things, but they're not following Christ. And so we need to be cautious, and we need to be careful, we need to be aware of those challenges and intentionally seeking after Christ. And so this morning, before we get going, we had youth this morning at 9, and one of our youth students said that I look like a zookeeper. Yeah, I wonder who that was. Katie Markley. And so my return comment to that was, well, if I'm the zookeeper, then you all are a bunch of monkeys. Yeah, right. I got an amen on that one. All right. But if you do have your Bible with you, turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. I promise you this is actually where we're going. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 19. Follow along with me as we read. It says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I have thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor, such men. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. For they all seek their own... I'm sorry. I got jumped ahead. Got carried away. I was reading. I was in a roll. So we'll stop there at chapter 3, verse 1. And so this story that we're reading through, if you read it, you can kind of get put to sleep a little bit, just to be honest with you. You think, well, what's the significance of this? You know, is Paul saying, I'm going to send Timothy? Well, I'm going to go myself, and I'm going to send Epaphroditus too. So you're kind of like, what's the point of all this? Well, there's a couple things in this that I really want to focus on today. And it's talking about following Christ. And so if you have your Bibles, if you have a writing utensil, I like to tell you to mark up your Bibles from time to time. There's going to be a couple verses and a couple words here that I want you guys to highlight. And so the story is that Paul plans to send Timothy as soon as he learns the outcome of his imprisonment. And so Paul's been imprisoned in Rome, and he's thinking that he's going to learn the outcome pretty soon. All right, so he's getting close to the end. He's thinking he's going to know what's going to happen. He's going to be revealed to him what his result of the imprisonment will be. And so he's sending a letter saying that I will join you soon. And so he's hopeful that things will go his way and that he will be released from prison. And so he is sending Epaphroditus now for a couple reasons. One, because Epaphroditus is longing to return home. And so he was from the Philippines. And so he is wanting to go back to them, his home country, and be with them. And they were worried about him because he had been sick. He'd be really, really sick, almost to the point of death. And so he's sending him back for a couple reasons. One, he wanted to go home. And the other reason is so that Paul could hear of the joyful news from the Philippians on the return of Epaphroditus. And so Paul is hoping to hear some good news. So it's a couple reasons why Paul was sending him. And so like I said, you could read through that, and that's good, and you might be wondering, well, why is this even in here? Well, look at verse 21. So if you back up a little bit, look at verse 21. He says, for they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. So if you have your highlighter or pen, what I would do is I would circle that part. For they seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. And so this is a reminder to the Philippians to have the mindset of Christ and follow after Christ. And so Paul kind of sneaks this in the message, right? It's sandwiched in between, well, I'm going to send Timothy to you, I'm going to send Epaphroditus to you, and hope to have a good return message, and I hope to be with you soon. By the way, the reason I'm sending Timothy is because everyone else is seeking their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. And so how are we guilty of that today? We kind of talked about this morning in youth, about how we like to complain, right? You guys like to complain? The youth are shaking their head, yes. So we had a long list of things that we could complain about. We went through some of them this morning. And it's easy to get caught up in that. Well, you know, this isn't going the right way. This isn't what I wanted. Fuel prices are ridiculous, which they are. Things are going on at work, I have a challenging situation, or whatever. There's just a long laundry list of things that we could complain about, that we could be saying, you know, this isn't really right. And so why is it that we are so likely to talk about those things instead of the ideas of Jesus Christ? Why is it that those complaints are consuming more of our time, more of our thoughts, more of our energy than we are trying to share the word of Christ to a lost world? And so I want to ask you that honest question. I want you guys to be honest with yourselves. Do we spend more time complaining about our situation? Do we spend more time focusing on our own interests than we do trying to spread the word of Christ? If I were to be honest with you, I probably would say yes. I would probably say I'm guilty of that. That I am guilty of focusing too much on me instead of focusing on spreading the word of Christ. And back up to our first scripture in John today. It said, if we are Christians, then we will act like Christ. Did Jesus Christ have anything to complain about when he was on earth? No, he had an easy life, right? He had nothing to complain about. I mean, it was all good for that dude, right? No. I mean, that guy was beaten, spit on, tormented, tortured, and then nailed to a cross to die. Did he complain about any of it, or did he focus on the interests of God, his Heavenly Father? He focused on being like Christ. And so if we are to be Christians, we are to imitate Christ in that same, with that same passion, with that same setting. And so let's go through these scriptures and look at three examples. So Christ is the ultimate example. And so following the footsteps of Jesus is no easy task. It is possible to get the gospel message to penetrate our calloused hands and our calloused hearts if we don't open up to receive his word. And God's rule over both things, seen and unseen, is true. And we need to open up our minds and our hearts to him. And so Christ is the ultimate example. Look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 15. It says, for this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart in turn, and I would heal them. Have our ears grown closed? Have our eyes been shut to the message of Christ? Are we too consumed by the things of this world and focusing on it instead of focusing on Christ? Have we grown calloused against this? That can happen. We can sit in church, we can hear messages, we can hear sermons, we can go to Sunday school, Bible school, study the word on Sundays and Wednesdays or whenever. But we can grow calloused to that. We can kind of get numb to that and not let it sink in to be meaningful. And that is kind of what he is warning against here. And so how can one truly know God's will or the truth concerning him when the competing voices of this age has deafened our ears and influenced us to the extent that all can be heard is woe to me. So how many of you guys watch the news? Yeah, some of us. Whenever you turn on the news, is this all good stuff here lately? Probably none of it. Right? I mean, it's just all full of bad stuff. We were here yesterday at a men's breakfast, and that exact topic was brought up, how we don't even pay attention to the news anymore, some of us, because it's all negative. It's just bad, 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 and bad. And so can we get kind of caught up into that ourselves in our daily lives? Yeah. We can kind of get caught up into everything else that's going on in this world, and we can become consumed with the things of this world. And so here in Matthew, he's warning against that. So is it possible to get the courage to be like Jesus and spread the gospel, even in the face of persecution from the pretenders and non-believers of the faith? Yes, it is possible. We can wear the image of Christ on our hearts and our minds, but not through our own might, but through the power and the Spirit of God. And so that's the main thing here. We don't have to do this by ourselves. We can allow the Spirit to live inside of us, and then we can profess the Word of God. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 11. It says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. He repeats it multiple times there, the Spirit that dwells in you. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, guess who lives in you? Jesus Christ, through his Spirit. You have the power to do anything. All we have to do is surrender to follow his will. Through the Spirit of God, we can become true believers of Christ and not just fake imitations. We can be the real deal. We can be the true Christian. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. It says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. And so if we are Christians, we are to follow Christ. We read that in 1 John. Here in 1 John, it continues. It says, for this is the love of God. Who here wants to love God? I hope everybody raises your hand. We all want to love God. And so if we want to love God, what is one way that we can show that we are loving God? By keeping his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. They're not restraints. They're not, well, I got to do this, I got to do that. They're things that we want to do because the Spirit now lives inside of us. And in John chapter 14, verse 12 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father." Notice how he words that. "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works I do," which is great, "will also do the things that God did and the things that Jesus did, and greater works than these he will do." So we can do greater works than what Jesus Christ did while he was on earth. This is essentially what he's saying. But the only way we can possibly do that is if the Holy Spirit lives inside of us to make that a possibility. But we can do great works because of Jesus Christ. And so Christ is the perfect example. And so next we're going to talk about Paul. So Paul was the leader. And while we're not all called to be leaders and missionaries as fierce as the service of Paul, we are all called to do something. We all have the same calling to faithfully listen and obey God in our lives. With just a glimpse of God's love, wisdom, and understanding, holiness, and the compassion of Christ on the cross, one can easily be overwhelmed by such standards and become content to live in a comfortable and fruitless life. And yet, in the midst of living in one selfish life, Peter wrote these words. "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, and you also be holy in your conduct." And so he's saying, do not be conformed to the ways of this world. And I know I've kind of been harping on this a little bit this morning, but it's so true. What are some distractions you see in this world today? And I want you guys to respond back. So what are some distractions that we see in the world today? Cell phones. What else? Basketball. There you go. What else? What are some other distractions? Come on, open up. What are some distractions we see in the world today? Cell phones, basketball, what?
Inflation.
What's that?
Inflation.
Food. Amen. What else? Each other. I'm sorry?
Material
wants. Yep. I'm sorry? Yeah. What else?
Television.
All right. So, are any of those necessarily a bad thing? Now, inflation, that could be bad. I'm going to ignore that one just for a minute. Everything else that was mentioned, are they by themselves necessarily a bad thing? Are cell phones necessarily a bad thing? No. Is basketball necessarily a bad thing? No. Is, what were some of the other ones? Material wants necessarily a bad thing by itself? No. But that crosses over a point to where it consumes us. So now our cell phone consumes us. We're addicted to it. We can't leave it alone. We are consumed by that next text message or that next email or the phone call. We're constantly on this thing. And we spend hours. Yeah. So do you guys have it? Ooh, my light turned on. Woo! Praise Jesus. So if you have an iPhone, it gives you like a weekly summary, right? It'll say, you use so much time on your cell phone this week. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Is anybody in here over 6 hours a day? I got a couple. Right? I mean, thank you for being honest. And so can that consume us of our time? Yes. Now, you could say, well, I'm using the phone to study the Word of God. And you definitely could be. And so I'm not don't want to say that you can't be doing that. But it can consume us. Basketball. Basketball by itself is not a bad thing, right? So when could it become a bad thing? Whenever it consumes us. Whenever we are watching March Madness all the time, we're so wrapped up into the moment, maybe we're not acting like Christ at that moment if our team is losing or even if our team is winning. Or maybe it's taking too much time away from family time or studying the Word of God together, right? So any of those things can be used in a bad way whenever they become more important than Jesus Christ. And so earlier I asked you, you know, are we spending more time with the things of this world than we are professing the Word of God or studying the Word of God? Some of these are examples of we might be. Our priorities might be out of alignment a little bit. And I think it's very evident that overall, as a society, our priorities are way out of whack. If Jesus Christ was the most important thing in our lives, and everybody actually acted and lived their life that way, how different would our world be? So much different. If we actually had the mindset of Christ, how different would our relationships be? How different would our world be? How different would our church be if we actually had the mindset of Christ? We can all be guilty of that, every single one of us. But Jesus Christ is our perfect example. Paul was a great leader who represented those truths. He represented the mindset of Christ in all that he did. This was a dude that was in prison who was still proclaiming the Word of God. And he was in prison for proclaiming the Word of God. But it didn't stop him. He didn't complain about his situation. He didn't complain that he was stuck in jail. What did he do? He preached to the jailsmen. He preached to the guards. I mean, we were talking about this in youth this morning. You guys know that I love going to Walmart, right? I've mentioned this like a lot of times in sermons. And so we were mentioning this morning about complaining. And so if I'm at Walmart and I'm stuck in line, I do not like to wait. I'm just being honest. And so I get impatient, and I might subtly complain to my wife. I don't make a big deal to where everybody can see. I do it quietly and privately, so I'm good. But instead of focusing on me being delayed and waiting in line, instead, I could take that as an opportunity to share Christ to whoever is next to me in line. That would be the mindset of Christ, to do that. That would be a difference in our world if we would all have that mindset of Christ. And so Amber told me this morning she's going to hold me accountable to that. So next time I go to Walmart, look out. All right, so 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. We're talking about Paul, and he's saying he is the foremost sinner. This is a guy that wrote a lot of the Bible, and we're talking that he is one of the most sinful people. But he realized the gravity of his sin. He realized the consequences of sins. And so, but at the moment he made Jesus his Lord, and the fruits of the Spirit poured out in abundance as he stored riches and crowns in heaven. Well, not everyone is called to have an official leadership position. All are called to follow their spiritual gifts. So every single one of us have a spiritual gift. And we are called to use those. And if we as Christians, if we as a church body actually use our spiritual gifts the way that God wants us to, imagine how much easier things would be around here. Imagine how much we would be working together as the body of Christ. So let's go to Timothy. I called Timothy the worker. And so we had Christ, the perfect example, Paul, the leader, and here we're going to have Timothy, the worker. So Paul had great praise for the young man Timothy, whom he often companioned him on missionary journeys. And what impressed Paul the most about Timothy was that their union in Christ unified them in heart and purpose to serve as true shepherds of the flock, caring and protecting the church of Philippi. So Timothy was able to have the same mind and the same kindred spirit as Paul because he wasn't focused on Paul. He wasn't focused on his situation. He wasn't focused on some hierarchy. He was focused on Jesus Christ. His interests were Jesus Christ. And so was Paul's. And so close was Paul with Timothy that he was seen as a valid member of his family, his very own son. And so when Paul became concerned about the welfare of the church at Philippi, he couldn't think of anybody else to send other than Timothy. And so he sent him. And his genuine concern did not contradict his later command to not be anxious about anything, but it was merely a reflection of his desire to keep them focused on Christ. And so what about us? If we are to fulfill the great commandments, if we are to have this mindset of Christ, then our focus must shift from the false God of me, of ourselves, to the true one and only God, Jesus Christ. Our churches are filled with commotion and emotion, but there's little devotion. Let me say that again. Our churches are filled with commotion and emotion, but there is little devotion. And I think that might be a little funny play on words, but I think it's true. Our churches are filled with commotion and emotion, but not much devotion. So to successfully serve inside of God's kingdom is not a function of effort, but instead of obedience. The ruler of the kingdom knows that the evil desires of our hearts can be used to keep us focused on ourselves and in love with the things of this world, instead in love with the things of Jesus Christ. Look at James chapter 1, verse 14. It says, "But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire." And so the more money, the more fame, the more power that we can get, the better we will be. No. Those desires take us off of the true desire to be with Christ. God will not accept divided loyalty. God will not accept divided loyalty. We're either Christians and we're all about Christ, or we're not. We can't serve two masters. We can't serve Christ and serve the world at the same time. It's got to be one or the other. So 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever." And so we can't serve two different things. It's got to be one or the other. We must make a choice. He demands that we fulfill our desires and our lives with Christ all the time. And we can do that. Look at Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 39. It says, "And he said to them, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself.'" Whew. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. He's not meaning your physical next door neighbor, which we should love them. But he's also meaning everybody that's sitting beside you in this service this morning. It's also talking about the people that you're sitting beside at school. It's also talking about your coworkers, your family members, your relatives, even the people that you don't get along with, even the people that you just, personalities just clash. We shall love your neighbor as yourself. Philippians 2:3 says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves." So yesterday morning we had a men's breakfast here. And if anybody knows me very well, I'm not good at asking for help. I'm actually very terrible of asking for help. I don't know why. I'm just stubborn. And so yesterday morning we had men's breakfast. And my mom has several things in her garage that we were trying to get relocated. Some of it came here to the church. Some of it came to my house. Some of it came to my Uncle Larry's house. And some of it went to Chris's, Weekly's house. Different items, different things. And I had in my mindset before this came up that I would do all this moving, that I would do it, because I didn't want to bother people. But the men of the church, they don't really work like that. So they knew what needed to be done, and they just came up and said, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. And so yesterday morning after our men's breakfast, we went to my mom's house, and we gathered up things, and we carried some very heavy things, such as a gun safe. And we moved everything, and it was done relatively quickly. That is an example of putting other people's interests above your own. Those guys that volunteered their time, I'm sure they had something else to do. I've got a laundry list, like, yay big, of things I need to do. I'm sure they did too. But they were willing to take time out of their busy schedules to go help a brother in need. And I am very grateful to that. And in fact, they were teasing me yesterday about paying them for their services. So that wasn't part of the deal. They kind of snuck that in after they'd moved everything. You know, like, whoa, wait a minute, I'm in too deep now. I can't get out. But the joke was that they would be paid in ammunition. So I brought one bullet for you. If you would like to collect your payments, you can. But in all seriousness, that's an example of putting somebody else's needs above your own, right? And if we are to be the body of Christ, we are to put other people's needs above our own all the time. That's what Jesus Christ did. What were his needs? His needs were to live. But he chose to die for us, sinful people. He chose to die for the person that was driving the spike into his hand. I can't imagine that. I can't fathom that. But he did it willingly. And all we have to do is accept that love of him. And if we accept Christ, then we have that same strength and that same spirit living inside of us. And so do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. And so that is having the mindset of Christ. And so if the church is to walk in the footsteps of Christ, every member must fulfill their spirit-given role. To the church, Paul stated a profound truth. Christians have been baptized by one spirit to form one unified but diverse body. A church that flourishes is one whose members know and use their spiritual gifts to perform the divine role assigned to them. Since everyone cannot be a preacher or a teacher or a worker or a healer or a helper, one who talks in tongues or seeks to run the race well by fulfilling the divine role God has assigned to you. Just because the field is ripe and the workers are few does not grant anyone the right to fulfill any other role than the one that God has gifted you for. Let me say that again. Just because there's so many things to do does not mean that we step out of our God-gifted role to do it. That's not what he intended. He gave us these roles. He gave us these spiritual gifts for everybody to use them together. And if everybody uses it together, we won't have to step out of our roles. We can all work together to glorify God. Above all, if the church truly wants to follow Jesus, then we must learn to stop being so preoccupied with our own security, our own safety, our own desires, and instead choose to live the life of a servant with the mindset of Christ. And folks, there are no excuses. A few weeks ago, I had a slide up here that said, eliminate the but. It is so true. There are no excuses. We are to have the mindset of Christ. We are to serve Christ all the time. No buts, no ifs. And so I'll leave you with this morning. Who will you follow? Will you follow the ways of the world? Will you get consumed by the things of this world? We mentioned a few of them this morning. And it's easy to get consumed by that. It's easy to get lost in that. Or will you make a decision to follow Christ? Maybe that's the first time that you've ever decided to follow Christ. Or maybe you've been a Christian for many, many years. The question is still true. Will you actually follow Christ with the mindset of Christ, with the desire to serve like Christ served? And if the church will rally together and do that in a unified body, the man will be so powerful. We will truly be able to affect the world right here in little old Parkersburg. So my question to you this morning is, who will you follow? So join with me as we pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we again thank you for just the opportunity to be here this morning. We thank you for these scriptures. Oftentimes we can kind of get lost in scripture. We can kind of glance over things that we might think just aren't important. But every word found in the Bible is important, Lord, and we need to be reminded of that and be mindful of that, and not just read the word, but actually follow the word. So, Lord, if there are folks here this morning that have never accepted you as Lord of their lives, have never had a personal relationship with you, then, Lord, I ask that they would just be moved this morning to accept you as their Lord and Savior. If there are folks here this morning that maybe know you as their personal Lord and Savior, but they haven't been serving you like they should, and they haven't had the mindset of Christ, Lord, I ask that you would just renew their mind and renew their spirit this morning. Move in them to have a recommitted life to you. Lord, you know the needs of everyone here this morning. Lord, I just ask that you would give them the courage to act and to respond. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In your son's name, amen.
If you would stand for our invitation, the altar is now open. Mark's down front too if you'd like to pray with him. Any decision you have to make this morning, just be obedient to the Spirit. Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart, you're the one that guides my heart.
Teach my song to to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
Good morning. As you can see, I am your deacon this week. If you guys need anything, call either one of those numbers. They'll both ring to the same phone. Text me, voicemail, whatever you need to do. And at first, I wanted to, before we have Dave up to make a announcement, I want to make a little announcement too. We have a couple here that will be celebrating 66 years of marriage this Tuesday. Jim and Shirley Hartline, right there. So, yeah, that's, Sarah, I hope to make it that long. I may not live that long, but just saying. I wanted to thank everyone here and everyone online and just everyone that has prayed over the last 10 months. For Pastor Search and just everyone that has prayed for our deacons for Rick and Mark, guys, your prayers have been felt. We felt them every week in our meetings. I can't thank you enough for that. But as I've said before, our job's not done. Whenever our new pastor gets here, keep praying for him, as I know you guys will. Keep praying for us. And also pray for each other and for our church. If we don't have to always, well, let's just keep praying for each other, please. This church needs it. I think we've all seen that the devil's done all that he can try to do to distract us, to separate us, but he's not going to win. He's not going to win. So, Dave, if you'll come up here, and he has a announcement about. Yeah. Oh, go, good. Good deal. Cool.
He's going to sing. Never mind.
I was hoping you'd leave this show up here. I didn't even help Saturday. I got Michelle. Funny part is he thinks I'm going to give it back. You guys have a seat. Well, has anybody watched last week's sermon again on Facebook? Did anybody watch it a second time? We do got some internet creepers in here, don't we? That's scary. I did too. But as you know, today Kyle is announcing to his church that he has accepted a position as a lead pastor here. He will be giving his 2 weeks' notice starting today. So that means he won't be here next week, and he won't be here the next week. He's doing his 2 weeks' notice at Emmanuel, and then he will be up here. And he's like the rest of us. He's not going to be on our payroll until he's here, and he doesn't want to miss a paycheck. So they are ready to come up here. So we are so excited. I hope everybody else is still excited from last week. I hope it carries on. And if you're not excited, watch last week's sermon again. It'll pump you up, I promise you. But if your desire is to serve God and do what His will, you are in the right place. Because big things are going to happen. We're going to get behind Him. It's going to be exciting. So I want to pray us out, and I want to pray for Kyle and his church, especially today, our church, and then I'll bless the offering as well. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the way you have kept true to your word and answering all your prayers, answering our prayers, dear Lord. Your word says that if we pray and believe, that we will receive. And dear Lord, you just showed us that you are a living God and that you keep your word. Dear Lord, I lift Kyle's church up to you. I lift Emmanuel Baptist Church up to you as they start to look for a youth pastor and as they form a search committee. I pray for them that they will turn everything over to you and they will just pray for who their church needs. I thank you for the way you have answered the prayers of our church. And we look forward to what we have in store. And I just lift Mark and Rick. We thank you so much for them, the way they have stepped up the last year and with COVID, dear Lord. We've had two struggling years, this church, and we have stayed faithful, and you have continued to provide for us. We just thank you for, again, I can't say enough, Mark and Rick, what they have done. Dear Lord, I just thank you for everybody that is in this auditorium right now, and I pray that everybody would invite somebody to church. Dear Lord, just continue to bless us, bless the offering that we've received, bless the people that gave, dear Lord, and it's all these things I ask in your name. Amen.
Thank you all so much. You know, Kyle's finishing up his doctorate, correct? You know, I go with what I read. Mark goes with what he reads. And you've got somebody that's getting ready to come up here with his doctorate. You think we preach long? I'm just joking. Boy, that fell flat. I feel like Johnny Carson. Yeah. Oh, my. Hey, you know what? Have a great week. You know what? We do. We need to focus on others, and we need to put ourselves second, and we need to, you know, when you're in that Walmart line, you know what? You don't have to share Christ right out, do you? But you can share Christ by your attitude and what you're doing and the way you're presenting yourselves. And sometimes God does call you to flat out share about him right there, and he opens that door for you. But just setting that example of Christ-like love in front of people around you, that goes a huge and long way in who we are, amen? And who we're supposed to be, amen? And not only out in Walmart, but here in the church as well, amen? Oh, there we go. Hey, we're going to sing you out. Y'all have a great week.